Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Ariel.
And I'm Shia, and the name of the show is Being Here.
Today, we're talking about how to create a magical relationship. It's one of our favorite topics. And a little bit later today, we have two of our favorite people in the world on as our special guests to speak with us about creating magical relationships. We'll introduce you to them in a little bit. But first of all, Shy and I like to let you know that we finish each other's sentences.
So when we do, please don't offend yourself.
Don't be surprised. We're not being rude. It's just our style. One of the things that we've really discovered in creating a magical relationship is that you really need
to learn how to listen. See, most people don't listen. They think they listen. But listening is an art form. Listening is a very active. It's not a passive act. It's an active act. Listening requires letting go of what you're thinking about and directing yourself to hear what the other person is saying from their point of view. Listening is not about agreeing with them or disagreeing with them. It's not about seeing if you already know what they're about to say. It's about actively suspending your thought processes and hearing what another person is saying from their point of view.
It's a little challenging once you get a partner because in a certain respect you get used to them. So you have a tendency to disregard them in the same way you disregard yourself.
So I guess the first place to start, if you want to have a magical relationship,
is with yourself.
And by being kind to yourself.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a whole foreign concept for most people. You know, most people think they have to berate themselves or be hard on themselves in order to accomplish anything.
You see, our approach is transformational. It is not based in change. It is not based in fixing or getting better. It's based in seeing the way you operate. And if you see the way you operate without judging yourself for what you see, without berating yourself, but actually being kind to yourself and noticing, oh, I do this. Well, that's all it takes to have your life transform.
I'm going to brag on us for a moment. What do you think, Shia? Is that okay?
Please do.
Shia and I wrote a book, oddly enough, called the same thing as this episode, How to Create a Magical Relationship. And our book is an award winner. It won the Nautilus Book Award, which is pretty prestigious, for the best book of the year in the area of relationships and men-women issues. And we are a notable winner of the Eric Hoffer Book Award and a finalist in the Forward Book Award. So this book, How to Create a Magical Relationship, is very, very powerful. And I'm going to read to you all just a little piece from the beginning of it because it's a neat thing on relationship and transformation. This is just our little starter preface idea. When you have the courage to see yourself honestly and do not judge yourself for what you see, then your life will transform and your relationships will transform along with it. Transformation is like the philosopher's stone in alchemy that was purported to turn base metals into gold. Transformation takes an ordinary, mundane relationship and turns it into a magical one. So today, we have a very limited amount of time, only an hour with you all, but we are going to be talking about all the different things that we can tell you in this short time frame
that will allow you to transform your relationship to a magical one. From whatever state it's in. So you may have a great relationship, or you may bicker, Or you may outright fight.
Or you may have no relationship at all yet. You may be
Well, you
dating.
Have a relationship to yourself.
Correct.
Then the funny thing is, how you are in relationship to yourself reflects with your partner when you have another person in relationship with you. So if you're hard on yourself, if you're unkind to yourself, that'll reflect in your relationship. So one of the things that we suggest is that if you just notice how you're being and you're kind to yourself and don't judge yourself for how you're being, that's enough to have that transform. In fact, there are three principles to transformation. We'll go over them quickly.
Because they're very, very useful in relationships. The first thing is anything you resist will persist and grow stronger. So if there's something about the way you're relating with your partner or the way you're relating with yourself and you fight with it.
And you don't like it, you wish it were different, that perpetuates it. That's the first principle.
It's the law of physics. For every action, equal and opposite reaction. So you push against something and you're going to keep it in place.
Second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in this moment of now. Now, in flights of fantasy, we think we could be somewhere else. We could be in another part of the planet. We could be in Maui right now. We could be doing other things than what we're doing. But the reality of it is that if you're sitting, that's what you're doing right now. If you're standing, that's what you're doing right now. You are exactly as you are right now, and you can't be different than that. In this moment,
we're not talking about 5 minutes from now or last week or next week. We're talking about right now.
In this moment, you can only be exactly as you are. That's the second principle of transformation. So if you discover how you're being in this moment, that's the only way you could be. And if you're gentle with yourself, when you discover that you're doing something that is either inappropriate or doesn't support your relationship, if you see it, then it allows you to defuse those things that don't support your relationship.
Ah, see it. That's the key word.
That's the third principle.
Because if you see something and really see it without judging what you see,
it completes itself in that moment. So if you are doing something that isn't working in your relationship and you notice it, don't make yourself wrong for it. It's over. Transformation.
Not change. Change is when you have to work for a long time to try and get rid of something that's not working. Transformation is when you see something and the noticing of it is enough to complete it. Next thing about creating a magical relationship, we'll start with ourselves. But another place to look is your relationship with your parents. Because if you're incomplete in things with your parents, you're going to translate those incompletions right into your relationship. And incompletions could be you resent how your parents did it with you. You think they didn't do a good enough job.
And you know you're right.
So then you're going to have a better relationship than they did.
And you'll do it differently than they did. But you see, the problem is you're using them as the reference point. They become the touchstone for your life. So you're not living your life. You're living not their life.
And that's really very, very limiting because you don't have all aspects available to you. It's just not them. You're going to be not them. And
Well, but you see, here's the thing. Human beings are very interesting. They have infinite potential. It's a lot like, quantum physics. It's a lot like quantum physics. In quantum physics, they say that an electron can exist or a subatomic particle can exist simultaneously throughout the universe in all places at the same time. Now, until you measure it. Now, once it's measured, it is forever in that place. Well, human beings have infinite possibility, too, until they label themselves as not like their parents, for instance. Then they can only be the opposite of what they say they're not like. So if you're not like your parents, you're like your parents in the opposite. So it limits your possibilities. Same thing with the relationship. If you're incomplete with one or the other of your parents, you're going to have those incompletions show up with any other person you're in relationship, whether that be of a different sex or the same sex.
Chan, I've been investigating some really interesting things about how people manipulate their surroundings to repeat what they expect. So if you have an expectation that men are one way or women are another way, then what you're likely to do is work on your environment to produce what you expect.
You'll gather evidence that supports your point of view, and you'll ignore evidence that doesn't support your point of view. It's like you're walking around with a bushel basket, picking up all those things that prove you right about your point of view.
So that's just a basic crash course in the beginnings of how to create a magical relationship. We have lots of other possible subjects to investigate, including things like complaining. You know, complaining about your relationship, particularly to your friends, it's not useful. You may think it's useful, but what it does is creates a reality
in your friends that your partner is a
something or other, and the
jerk.
Something or other is not generally
nice.
That's right.
Right.
So we'll discuss this. We're going to discuss some more things with our friends, Amy and Andy Gideon, when we get back. And I already mentioned it, but I wanted to let you know our book, How to Create a Magical Relationship, is really, really an excellent resource. And you can buy it on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. Or you can buy it up on
Amazon
or any of the others. Well, go in your bookstore and ask for it. It's really excellent. By the way, if you're not currently on our email list, please sign up. You get a podcast of the week sent to you. You our article of the month, things like that. Wanted to just let you know that. So how to create a magical relationship. That's what we're looking at today.
Well, you know, Ariel and I have been together for 25 years.
That's
Isn't
right.
that amazing?
Yeah, really.
Next week.
25 years.
25 years to our first date.
So,
and it's gotten better and better. It wasn't bad at first, but we had some rough spots.
We learned eventually, as we had this transformational shift into being present and being here where we are, we discovered not only how to be kind to ourselves, but how to work together in partnership rather than in an ever-present competition and one-upsmanship. So the rest of this show, we'll take a look at how to work together. And I can't think of two better guests who started as diamonds in the rough and moved into having an incredible partnership as the Gideons, and they'll be back with us after the break. So stay tuned with us, and you'll hear more about how
to have a magical relationship.
So stay tuned. Come on back. Don't miss
being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy.
Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
The show is Being Here, and today we're talking about how to create a magical relationship. Shia and I are really honored today to have two very, very special guests.
They're friends of ours who we met, 14 years ago?
Maybe? Yeah. Yeah, 1991.
They're not only two of our closest friends, but
that's not 14 years ago.
Oh, longer.
91?
No, 91 to 2007. That's 16 years ago.
Wow. Time flies.
When you're having fun.
Amy and Andy own Tag Online, an incredible internet company. They put us up on the internet back in 1993. When they first approached us and they said, can we put you up on the World Wide Web?
We said, what is the World Wide Web?
You can do it. Just don't tell us what. We were so...
Techno-unfriendly.
Yes, we didn't know really much about the web and internet, and there was no surfing back then, at least not from us. We were definitely on the shore. So thank you both for introducing us to a whole new world, and we'd like to welcome you and say hello.
Great. Well, I'm very excited to be here.
So am I. Thank you.
And we're happy to be part of how to create a magical relationship.
Well, let's talk about your relationship when we first met. Your relationship when we first met you was somewhat similar to our relationship when we first met us.
So talk to people. Tell them how your relationship was as a normal way of being when you first got together. How many years you've been married?
Well, we've been married since 1989. Which is 18 years.
And we've
okay.
been dating for about 7 years before that.
Right. And when Andy and I first got together, we were in college. And then we started living together. And we really had separate lives. Even though we loved each other, we tended to bicker a lot and fight.
We had separate friends. We did separate things for entertainment.
Yeah, and we really weren't a united team. But we didn't, you know, as far as we were concerned,
this is the way relationships were.
Right.
I mean, if you had asked us, we would have said, oh, yes, our relationship is terrific.
Right. So we didn't even know that there was any other possibility than what we had.
Well, I remember you guys when we first met. Our accountant said to us, I may have made a mistake because I gave a couple your phone number and told them to call you. They came into my office and they were here for an hour and a half and all they did was argue and fight.
Right.
And yeah, that was you then.
To us, that was normal. I mean, that's just the way all relationships were, isn't it?
Right. We didn't know any better until now, you know. And
so what type of things did you two fight about?
Well, we would, disagree about, for example, we were, at the time, we were going to school. We were getting our master's in computer science at New York University. And we would do our homework together. But it was a battle when we do our homework together. We would, I would think I was right. I would want to show him what I would be proving myself. I'd be competing with him.
Yeah, a lot of the arguing around school was competing with one another. I mean, I know better. No, I know better. No, I know better. No, here, let me show you. No, let me show you.
And probably when we were at the accountant's office, we were probably, disagreeing about, how the
money
or how the taxes were created, or, we would really fight about anything.
Well, we started this show with Shia talking about listening and the importance of listening. So it sounds pretty much like the beginning basis of your relationship. Neither of you were listening to each other.
Right.
Yeah, we each had our own agenda, whether, if you look at the example of school, I know better. If you look at the example of money, no, we should do this with our money. We came at every so-called communication with an agenda, and we would not let go of the agenda. So, no, we were not hearing one another. We were simply making our point and then pausing while the other person must be talking, but we're not listening because we're getting ready to make our next point.
Right. So you were figuring out what to say next while they were talking.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not listening.
No, that's not listening.
I have a question. Did you two ever come into conversations where you both had matching agendas, but the moment you found your partner had a similar take on, say, how to spend your money, that you actually chose another perspective just so that you could prove your independence?
Oh, yes. Actually, I remember that with the schoolwork, because we would be, we would be working on a computer science, a programming problem. And we both, I would be saying, well, let's do it this way. And he'd say, oh, yes, we should try that way. That would work. And then I would be like, actually, I don't think that way is going to work. I think we should do this different way, just so I could feel like I'm a woman, I'm independent, no man's going to tell me what to do. Actually, I had a very big independent, don't tell me what to do when Andy and I were at the beginning of our relationship. I really recall that.
Boy, that makes it hard to be intimate, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. We
didn't mention that, actually, but that's another characteristic of our early relationship. It was not intimate.
Yes.
Well, it's a little difficult to surrender or melt into one another if you're in the midst of a fight and proving that you're smarter or you're right or they're wrong.
Right.
It makes it very difficult to be there with another person if you are fighting with them.
Right. I remember, actually, my name is Amy Gideon, but when Andy and I first got married, I kept my maiden name for many years just so I could feel somehow I was still my own person. I was still independent from Andy.
But we also worked in the same industry, and you were afraid that people would associate the two of us together.
Right.
That's how separate we were. We were supposed to be, people weren't supposed to know that we had relationship. I mean, it's not like we were keeping it a secret exactly, but it wasn't supposed to be too obvious.
Right. And that actually became the name of your company eventually, TAG. It was a shortened Tucker and Gideon.
Oh, that's right.
Right, Amy Tucker and...
And Tucker was first.
That's right,
because you were trying to prove to Andy that you were the man in the family.
Yeah, I really think that was very right on for me when we first met you guys. I wasn't aware of how much I wanted to be the man in the family.
What did that mean to you, being the man in the family, Amy?
Well, to be, as far as I'm concerned, in control, the person who says what to do, there was an independence I felt I had to prove that no man could tell me what to do. And
I really think what you're describing, Amy, is very, very typical. And most people long to be able to have a partnership, a sense of intimacy, a feeling of love and satisfaction and warmth.
Well-being.
But it wars with the agenda to not let anybody be over them. Or most people haven't discovered that in a relationship you can have a partnership. And it takes incredible strength and courage to be able to allow your partner to be as great as they are.
Yes, it's true. You know, I felt somehow if I supported Andy, I would feel I wasn't secure in myself enough to, you know, even though I did want all those things like love and satisfaction and partnership, I didn't know a way to achieve that. I only knew that I wanted some type of independence and to prove that I was somehow a secure, you know, a secure woman.
Right.
How's it working together for you two these days?
Great.
Want to go back to the intimacy question?
Yeah, we have a lot more intimacy.
It's
what does
incredible.
That mean? That sound, that raises all sorts of pictures about what you two are doing at work.
I know. Well, it's funny because...
Well, actually, you mentioned that we have this company. That's a big part of it. We work together. We are, with the occasional break here and there, we're together 24/7. And that's... I remember before we met you how being together for too long could be difficult, but now we're together constantly, and in fact there are times when it still doesn't feel like it's enough.
You know, it's interesting. In the world we live in, the male-female roles were pretty well prescribed up until last 50 or 60 years. You know, there weren't many things that a woman could do to be independent. As far as jobs were concerned, they could be a teacher, a librarian, a nurse. But the reality of, or the possibility of a woman like today being an airline pilot or a doctor or a lawyer, it just didn't exist 50 or 60 years ago. So times have changed a great deal. Now, here's the problem for most women who are powerful and have positions of authority in business or, you know, like in the world, there's the need to prove one's independence, and yet, in reality, there's a need also to be vulnerable and available and surrender to another. And the two needs war. You know, so that for a woman who's successful in business to have a relationship that is also successful, a partnership with her man, this is much more difficult because, see, you're breaking new ground these days in discovering how to interact not through a set of rules, but by being present in the moment to discover how to be appropriate in relationship.
So in the next segment, let's come back and look more at how to be appropriate in relationship and how to balance things. I know you two have children. We can look at balancing children with work and with your relationship. And we'll look at some more of the aspects of how to create a magical relationship and some of the things that sour what is normally a wonderful relationship. So will you two come back with us after the break?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. So come on back, everybody. We'll be back shortly. Don't miss being here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. Learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Here we are, Being Here. We are talking with Amy and Andrew. Should we make you more formal, Andy? We'll call you Andrew Gideon.
Okay.
They are the owners of Tag Online. They have an internet company that they've had together since 1993. They both have masters in computer science. And they are a really great couple.
And they've learned how to interact appropriately to support having a magical relationship. And when we first met them some 16 years ago, that was not the case. Their relationship at that time was competitive.
You know, one of the things I love about Amy and Andy, aside from that they're these great people, is that when they started together, they had all the components for a great relationship, and they had all the components for divorce. That they truly loved each other, but left unexamined and left going down the path they were headed. They would not have the relationship that they have today. And luckily, they had the courage to look at each of themselves honestly without judging what they saw, and they were able to dissolve mechanical behaviors that would normally destroy an otherwise healthy relationship.
You see, we learn as human beings how to relate growing up in the families and the cultures we grow up in. And what we use as models or examples are our parents, our friends' parents, the church or synagogue or school that we attended or were part of, the social organizations. We learned how to be social beings from the people that went before us. The possibility, and for the most part, men hung out with men and women hung out with women, except when they got together to have children. But other than that, I mean, people may have been married, but, you know, there were social clubs where men hung out and the women got together for their socials as well. And it was not a situation where a man and a woman, for the most part, partnered with each other as though they were equal. Two parts in the same whole. You know, not independent and different, but working together to be together for their lives.
So before the break, we were talking about being appropriate, being able to have a relationship where you're dealing with each other well. And on the break, we were talking a little bit about it during the commercial break. And Andy, you were talking a bit to us about what you would call appropriate relating and how it translates into work and at home. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You also used the word partnership, and how our partnership works, how the partnership between Amy and myself functions, is that we're appropriate with one another and with the people around us. And I mean, it extends to our work. It extends to our children. We have two small children. What it means is that when we see something that's happening, when someone's coming into our environment, when a client is coming in and saying something in a meeting, for example, we're comfortable listening to what the client has to say. We actually hear the client. And of course, we can then do what it is the client is requesting of us. That's an example of what I mean by appropriate. We see what one another wants or needs, and we can respond to that. And that's part of what I mean by being appropriate. We can see what our children need, and we can see what our children don't need, even though they want it. And that allows us to respond appropriately. I love that word appropriate, because it's so much a foundation of how our partnership and how our relationship, how our business, how our families function.
Yeah, and also I feel that, you know, when Andy and I are, for example, in that client meeting, we're listening to each other, and I'm not looking at him like he doesn't matter or you know, taking him for granted. I'm actually listening to what he says, new and fresh. Like, for example, like, we're in our business and we have a lot of computers we need to buy. And, you know, Andy would say, well, let's buy this computer. And in the past, you know, if I'm worried about money or if I'm worried about, you know, maybe we shouldn't buy that particular computer, I would resist what he has to say. Now, when he says, let's buy this computer, I'm like, I see from his point of view, and I see what he's seeing, and then I'm like, yes to it. And then there's just an agreement about, well, that makes sense for our business. So I think that this appropriateness and the listening.
Amy?
Yeah.
I think it's more than that.
Okay.
I think now you're more of a yes to what he has to say, not through the reasonableness of it's good for our business.
Right.
If we go back to the earlier segment, if you look at how you had structured your life and your relationship before, if Andy even agreed with your approach on a project when you were learning how to do computers at school, as when you two were studying for your master's degree, you would automatically have to take an opposition, an opposite side, in order to feel balanced.
To prove your independence.
Right.
Not to have him railroad you into things.
Right.
To prove that you had a say in the matter.
Right. Not be a doormat or something.
Right. A huge challenge for people is their aversion to being dominated by anything or anyone.
Or their aversion to being told what to do. You see, as children, did I mention our approach is anthropological? Well, it is. As children, children discover their independence by saying no to their parents. That's at about age two. That's why it was called the terrible twos, because before that, a child is more agreeable to being told what to do. But then at that point, they think being different than their parent is equal to being independent. And it's not. It's just saying no to what's requested of you. And then from age two on, we just sophisticated a bit. But the reality of it is most people hate being told what to do. And so to surrender to another person's point of view is an anathema. It's a curse. It's a terrible thing. And it's not. When you discover how to surrender, there's a difference between surrender and succumb.
Surrender is when Shai says, "Hey Ariel, would you like to go see a movie?" And I'm like, "Oh, well." Andy was very funny. He used to be. I remember Amy would come up to him and say, "Do you want to see a movie?" And Andy'd say, "No. What's playing?" That was in your succumb stages, Andy.
See, the surrender is to, if you say yes to doing something, you do it as though it were your idea and you agree to love the experience. Succumb is when you're asked something, something's asked of you, and you agree to do it and then you make them pay for having asked you.
And it can be simple things like, make me a cup of tea. Will you make me a cup of tea?
Certainly.
Or whatever you ask of your partner, or even ask of yourself. You can succumb to things you're requesting of yourself just as easily as you can to your partner. Amy, you were mentioning something about romance. What did you want to talk about romance?
Oh, yes. Well, I feel that, you know, over the years, actually, our romantic life has gotten better in so many ways. And we've been, you know, a lot of times I'll meet people and they're like, they'll think we're newlyweds. You know, they think we just got married. And I'll say, no, I've been married 18 years. And they're surprised because we're very loving to each other. I mean, whether it's we're holding hands or, you know, like some days, Andy will come up to me and let's have lunch today, you know? We haven't, you know, even though we work together, we're actually physically in the same, you know, physical room and office. You know, sometimes we don't really get a chance to talk because, you know, we're working during the day and doing our projects and then we get home, we're managing the children. So, you know, he'll say, let's go have lunch and, you know, chat, or let's go have a little dinner out. And, you know, so there's, you know, more romantic, loving types of things that we do together that we didn't do when we first got married.
So you're saying romance is something that's part of the fabric of your day, not we turn it on at 9 o'clock at night and then expect each other to feel amorous.
Exactly. Like, for example, I'll be, you know, Danny and I have adjacent desks. You know, we have a, like a 6, 7, 10 feet between us. And I'll walk over to his desk sometimes during the day and give him a little peck on the cheek, or I'll, you know, rub his head a little bit, and then I'll go back to work, or I'll scratch his back, you know, just something intimate. And either if it's just like, how's everything going, you know, or passing him in when we're in the lounge getting a cup of coffee together. So it has definitely been integrated into our day.
I have to tell you that you two, we're going to be taking a break soon, but I have to tell you two that you have actually even taken texting to intimate. There have been times where I have to admit I've been standing in your office, Amy, talking to you, and you'll get a text from Andy at the other side of the room who's trying to pretend he didn't send it, and it really is very, very sweet. You two have a even technological romance.
Right.
You know, when we come back, I want to talk after the next break about a few things, like the secret to rekindling a relationship. There's a couple secrets because, you know, everybody knows every once in a while you get off balance. So that is definitely, definitely something I think we should all look at. You guys interested in the secrets?
No,
of
yes.
Of course.
Excellent. So come on back. We'll be speaking with Amy and Andy Gideon shortly again, and we'll be talking about some of the secrets to rekindling your relationship when you get off track.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. Learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
To Being Here.
With
Ariel and Shia Kane and Amy and Andy Gideon.
Welcome back, you two.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So we promised some of the secrets to getting your relationship back on track. And
I guess the big one is the three magical words or three golden words.
Do you know what they are?
Amy, Andy,
I'm sorry,
do you know what they are?
I can't think of them.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I
am
sorry.
Ah.
But you gotta mean it. See, I tell you, some people are lost in a relationship that's based in a fight that started so long ago that they can't even remember where it started.
The first date, probably.
Probably the
first
date.
That's how you knew they were good relationship material. They'd stand up to you.
Right. If they'd fight with you. And the fight has escalated to the point where they've lost their ability to love each other. They've lost their ability to be kind and sweet and nurturing to each other. Because when you're fighting with somebody, you certainly want them to feel bad, not good, right?
Right.
So being willing and able to hear, you guys established that listening to each other, to hear their perspective, hey, that didn't feel nice, or I felt hurt by that, or that was upsetting.
And to apologize and say, I am sorry, and actually mean it, not do it perfunctorily.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, sorry.
Or, I'm sorry if you think that I did something that you offended yourself with.
I'm sorry that you hurt yourself with what I said.
Those have a tendency to really not go far. But if you can really look and apologize, that really has an impact. The other trick, if you find yourself lost in the mechanics of disagreeing about something and it's silly. You ever done that where you disagree about something that's gotten silly?
Yes.
Yes. Is to simply start over. It's an odd idea, but it really, really works. Where you say, okay, we're going to count to three. That's it. We're not going to talk about this. We're just starting over. And to turn your mind and your thought process to something other than that little silly thing you were bickering about. But it matters if you tell the truth to yourself about how you fight. You know, do you get quiet? Do you pout? Do you get loud? Do you storm out of the room? Do you take yourself away? Do you get aggressive? What's your style?
And the question is if you're willing to give it up. See, you may not be willing to give it up. You may not be able to let him be right or let her be right. You may be unwilling to give up the fight. But a loving relationship, a magical relationship, is not based in fighting. Even if your role model for a loving relationship were parents who fought.
Anything else that you two want to let people know about creating a magical relationship that the two of you have discovered?
Well, I think one thing that's been an important part of our relationship is, you know, sometimes we'll meet a particular person or a client, and or we'll, you know, speak with somebody, Andy and I together, and then we'll come away from the meeting and suddenly, you know, we're not on the same side. You know, I'll say, oh, this particular person, you know, I'll just be defending that person. Maybe he or she said something and Andy.
Right. Whereas I'll come away not trusting that particular person.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're just on different sides of what we feel. And then suddenly we're not in relationship anymore. We're not listening to each other anymore. And we're not feeling very intimate with each other. You know?
So one of the things that you've really discovered is that people that you're around can have an impact on your ability to be intimate with each other.
Definitely.
Definitely. And the other thing is that's been really, of course, very valuable is, you know, when Andy and I, great that, you know, it was great that we met you in 1991 when we first got married. And like you said, if we hadn't, you know, met you guys, I really don't know where our relationship would really be right now.
Certainly not here.
No way. And we, by going to the workshops with you guys, attending the courses, and has been so valuable that we continue to do them. I definitely recommend for people who are in relationship,
or people who want to be in relationship, or people who are in relationship with themselves,
should definitely attend your workshops, because I find the adventure of self-discovery, or just discovering your partner, is so fun and exciting. And that's the beauty of all of this, is that this whole time over the years, Andy and I have learned about each other. It's fun, and it's just been such a great adventure, and it still is. And that's why I definitely feel people should attend your workshop.
Well, absolutely.
I have to assume that a lot of the people who are listening to this aren't necessarily in the New York area, and as you know, a lot of our workshops, the majority of our workshops, are in the New York area. What would you say to those people who would have to travel from a distance?
Well, it's very worth it. We've had, I know that there have been workshops that you have conducted where people have come from California, from Germany, from Florida,
from the Netherlands,
and
England.
It's just so worth it, because you go away and you have so much benefit and value, and you also have a whole new set of friends you make in the workshop. And there's a lot of communication, you know, between people, even, you know, after you attend the course.
True. You know, friends that are relationship friendly are a huge part of maintaining and creating a magical relationship.
Definitely.
If you're around people who are taking care of you and are user-friendly for a relationship.
You know, there are people out there who are not user-friendly to relationship. And if you're not aware of it, you may fall prey to their splitting your relationship apart. Frequently, a quote, friend is a better listener than your relationship. And oft times that causes the demise of your relationship. So your relationship is something to guard and protect.
Right. And take care of. You know, I think it's really funny that we're talking to Amy and Andy in a respect, because from time to time we forget the power of the Internet. And our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, is an excellent place, an excellent resource to find out what we're up to, where we are next, to
listen to excerpts of our books and audios. Speaking of which, we have a new audio coming, and, ooh, I said that. We haven't quite taped it yet. We have a new book coming out in September called Being Here, so you should stay tuned for that. And obviously, this internet's very powerful because here we are on the radio.
Right. The other thing is, in the winter, when it's cold, we do workshops in Costa Rica that are 9 days long. This year, we're doing 3 of them. What it takes to come to one of our workshops in Costa Rica is that you need to attend a workshop, a weekend workshop with us, so we discover whether we're a fit. So we invite you to join us in one of our workshops and discover how to relate to yourself in a kind and gentle way.
This year, why not make it a priority to create a magical relationship with yourself?
Amy, Andy, we want to thank you for being on the call with us. It's an honor and privilege and pleasure to have you with us. And
we look forward to seeing you very shortly.
Yes.
And for all of you who are with us today, thank you as well. We obviously couldn't do it without you. Be sure and tell your friends. Invite them to being here. And we look forward to being with you all again next week.
Thank you very much.
Jason. You're welcome.
Bye.
Don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.